Hello, my fantastic faction of followers, fans, and freaks of fun Famicom festivities. I'm Ziploc Bob, one of the two hosts of Sequel Syndrome Podcast, a talk show about video games, their culture, and design, and psychology. Now I shall pass you over to our master. Shit, you're not Zez.
Component Z.
I got nothing for you, but for those of you who don't know who he is a fellow Bottle Rocketeer. And he decided to help us out with the entire, hey, Z had to go do some stuff and things, and...
No, Zez had to go do things. I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I always get you too confused because of the Z's. This has been, like, I've known them for both over a year, and I still do it. Anyways, what are we doing today?
You're setting the bar really high, Bob. Really high.
That's what we're doing. We're setting that bar. Today we're talking about extension trope, and we did bring along somebody who's played a lot of RPGs to give us his insight. Let's give a nice warm welcome to Stacey Kruger.
How you doing, guys? Thank you very much for having me on the podcast today. I've been trying to get on to a podcast with Bob for ever and a day now. We've been talking for close to a year, I think, actually. I'll message him. Yeah, we'll do this someday, and then it just never happens. I don't know.
Yeah, then as soon as I'm like, okay, I finally got it. I got my first episode recorded. I'm like, hey, Stacey, it's happening. Want to schedule a date? And
boom, let's do it.
Yeah. So before we get in our normal first segment, I would like to briefly make a point of fact of something horrible that happened. Those of you who don't know, Total Biscuit passed away a couple days ago. He finally finished his battle with cancer of, I believe it was 3 years, maybe more.
I believe so, at least.
I think it was three, I could be incorrect. But, you know, since it was literally the co-optional podcast is like me watching his co-optional podcast and like going, okay, that's how they did this, that's how they did that, and was like a inspiration for the original version of Sequel Syndrome a long time ago. It would be a great disservice to not take a moment to point out like how much of an influence he's had on this show and many more like this one, and that's not even including his WTF what WTF is series of reviews and all, and even what he did as a shoutcaster for StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, the one thing I liked most about him was the fact that he never held back. He would always tell you exactly how he felt. That was the greatest thing about him, you know. I didn't always agree with them. A lot of times, I'm like, this guy will be over here, buddy. I'm not with you on this one. But I always stop when I respect you for your opinion. Yeah. At least you're straightforward. At least you're not going to dodge the point of something you don't want to talk about. He'll always be straightforward with you.
Yeah, that, and it's and it was a case of, how should I put this? It's one thing to have an opinion and go, oh, I don't like this thing. But he would go into so much depth and detail on like, this is what's wrong. And 9 times out of 10, in my opinion, like, as a fan, was like, if something was wrong, it's because he found something that he found was very anti-consumer in his eyes. Mm-hmm. It's like, why the hell am I paying $60 for a game that's, and I'm not getting the whole game and all that good stuff? Or it's like, listen, for $20, this is fine. It's not great, but for $20, it's good. And he did make sure price point was accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did treat it as, yes, it's art, and it should be art. However, this is art people are paying for. Is it really worth the money put in?
Well, that's something I really respect him for once again, because let's face it, the game industry's kind of gone, oh, hey, let me see your wallet real quick. Don't worry about the game. Let me see your wallet first. Okay, here's this. Oh, you didn't want that? Well, that's nice. Give me the money anyway. We'll give you some shit that you thought you were going to get, but you got something completely different, you know?
Yeah. Or it's like, everybody's... a good point, I think, even he's brought up, is like $60 is not the price for a game anymore. It's a price for the skeleton game, not the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a subject for another day. Today, we're talking about extension tropes, something that has kind of died in some ways, but still is heavily used in others. But we'll be getting to that. But first, Stacey, what have you been playing this past week?
Or
month or whatever.
I'm going back, man. Diablo 3, World of Warcraft, I've been diving back into it. I've become addicted to it again, man. It's terrible. It's awful. Like, my girlfriend, she's pregnant with their fourth child, and she's like, hey, honey, you want to come to bed? I'm like, one more level. Just one more. It's bad, man.
Fourth child. Like, wow, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, Stacey, the human spawn point.
Yes. Unfortunately. apparently, I just have, like, super sperm, you know? I don't know what the hell's going on with me. Worst part was because the doctors told us that it was impossible for her to get pregnant. She was completely and utterly infertile. It'll never happen.
Wow. Along came Stacey. Stacey's neck is here.
I would fire that doctor in a heartbeat. Just saying.
I looked at her, I was like, do you remember what the doctor's name was? No. I'm like, damn it! I want to go just meet him in the back alley. Like, so, infertile, huh? But now, when we're talking about the RPGs, you want to know what the extra level to this is?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the daughter's name's going to be?
What?
Aerith.
Nice.
Well, considering you have a series on your channel called, on your Twitch channel called Final Fantasy Fridays.
Yeah, I kind of like this series a lot. Well, there's a few in there that are...
do you have a son named Barrett by any chance?
If the next one comes about, if there's another one comes about, it's a boy. That's actually what I was debating, that or Cloud.
Now, you know, considering that, you know, all teenagers hit their weird emo phase, that would really fit.
Oh, God. Oh no. I was thinking, though, another one would be great if it was Sephiroth. Next one, name it Sephiroth. Halloween, they can go out just like he could stab his sister for Halloween. A fake sword, Bob! A fake sword!
Your last name is Krueger, and you're basically trying to make Michael Myers. Great.
I'm talking like, you know, it's like, ah, gotcha, sis. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, this one of those candy swords that you do this, and it collapses in on itself.
Yes!
Into the hill.
Bob thinks I'm going to try to kill Jesus. That's not right.
Yeah, but in my mind, like, literally, I heard...
I've been playing way too much Dead by Daylight, so I start hearing that now and go like, oh, God, where is he?
It's like, I'm sorry, that song will forever be the theme song to my asshole parking.
Folks, something you never want to do in your entire life. Play Dead by Daylight with Ziploc Bob.
I scream like Homer Simpson.
I've had to turn him down so low. Oh my God. I'm sorry, Z. Go ahead, buddy.
No, you do not scream like Homer Simpson. You scream like an anime girl.
No, he's got you dead right, no, buddy. No. I do not scream like an anime girl, and here's why. I don't follow it up with Oni-chan.
You hit octaves no male should ever hit.
What, I have a lot of range.
He's got you dead to rights here, Bob. I'm sorry, buddy. It's like, I was just like, afterwards, like, all right, let me clean my ear out. Oh, God, that hurt.
Okay, Z, what the hell have you been playing for the past week?
Actually, I've been going a little low key. I've actually just been playing a little bit of Planet Coaster, just
really
keeping it low.
Nice. Yeah. I haven't played that game in years.
Wait, no, Planet Coaster? It's a new one. You're thinking of Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh hell, you're right.
Planet Coaster is like if they made a Roller Coaster Tycoon today, and it was and without EA screwing up Maxis.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go to Steam real quick here.
$44.99, I believe.
You know what? Never mind. I don't need this right now.
Yeah, you got a kid coming.
Apparently, they're more important as far as money goes. Who knew?
And expensive.
No.
Okay. Jeez. You want to know? Okay, so my dad had has, growing up, I had two younger sisters. Then I got another younger brother and another sister through a marriage. But before the second marriage, or my dad's third marriage, rather, my dad used to joke, you know what the difference between two and three kids is? Bankruptcy.
He's not wrong, folks.
They're not. Kids are not cheap.
Once the third one came about, I was just like, oh, I wanted to buy that drum set, though. Damn it. Fourth one came about like, well, it's okay. We'll sell off one of the streaming rigs. It's okay. No big deal. No big deal. Jesus. Yeah.
Don't worry. I still got one kidney. Steam is doing this thing to where it's where you can earn badges and stuff by playing old games and stuff, and like going and playing the first game or playing a game that you only spent less than an hour in before you said fuck it, I'm out, you know, giving it a second try, and you only got to play it for like 5 minutes. So, and I did not realize the first game I ever had given to me on Steam, because the first game on my Steam profile was not one I bought, it was given to me. But I still did enjoy it. It was Modern Warfare 2. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I played that game. Jesus.
Yeah. And to be fair, man, have we come far in being able to fuck with the settings on a video game.
But to be fair, Modern Warfare 2 is what got me my Steam account. She had to have Steam to play it.
Yeah.
Because I went out and bought the disc, and it was a Steam code.
No kidding, eh?
No, actually, I think it was a disc, but it forced you to install Steam and have a Steam account to play.
Yeah, for the network play.
Even for the single player. Mm-hmm. You had to have it.
For Modern Warfare, for me, it was always console. For some reason, I was like, yeah, this controller thing, this is great. And, I grew up playing on computers. Like, my first, system wasn't Atari 2600, but, I grew up, doing proper first-person shooters with the computer. But apparently, it was always just like that.
Unreal. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, dude, Unreal was free a few days ago. Unreal Gold?
I'm sorry?
Unreal Gold was free a few days ago during their 20th anniversary. I put it out everywhere I could. I even put it out in your Discord server.
God damn it. One time I don't look at my Discord. What the hell?
Right. I should have added you, so I'll fall on the sword for that one.
That's my own fault. Anyway, but yeah, it's just like, for some reason, it was always like, yeah, Modern Warfare, controller. This seems like a great idea. I couldn't shoot worth a shit. I always sucked at the controller, but I'm like, this is where it belongs.
See, I'm of two minds. Like, if it's a FPS that has high maneuverability as this feature, give me a controller. If it's, I want to shoot accurately, and that's what's going to make me live or die, mouse and keyboard. But yeah. I'm much more maneuverable with a controller.
On first-person shooters, it's got to be mouse and keyboard. The only exception to that. If you play Mech Warrior in first person, I have to have a controller. I have to have a joystick to play.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I played Mech Warrior. Holy crap.
Yeah. I'm old school, man. But, for example, here's one that I think I play better on with a controller than a mouse and keyboard. Any of the Borderlands games.
Mouse and keyboard.
Oh, God. Yeah. Mouse and keyboard all the way.
Because, here's the thing. I jump around like a madman and pray and spray.
Bouncing keyboard.
Yeah.
It's like I don't need accuracy. I need to be able to get to where they're constantly missing me, to where they're aiming 5 frames back from me. And I can do that a lot easier with a keyboard or with a PlayStation 3 controller, basically.
Yeah.
Well, I say mouse and keyboard. Technically I don't use the keyboard. I have one of those I have a left-handed keypad.
Yeah.
Oh, you got one of those, huh?
Oh yeah. When I'm gaming, I fall right into that, and I love it.
Really? I've always wanted to try it, but I was like, do I really want to can I justify spending money on something I may hate? You know?
You won't hate it. Especially because the keys are programmable, so you can set keys to be what you want them to be, and
versus what the game says they are.
Yeah,
which helps with
money.
Really,
I can spend money, right?
All right. And then a lot of times, what I'll do is like I'll macro the hat switch.
Oh yeah. All right.
So take it forward, and it gives me one macro. Pull it back, it gives me another macro.
Nice.
Yeah, this is something about Modern Warfare I did not like. You know how, like, oh, how do you switch weapons? Mouse wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. 1, 2, and 3. You cannot. You can program it to mouse wheel up or mouse wheel down, but not, okay, when I scroll to mouse wheel, I switch weapons. So.
Really? Why? That just seems like it's something that's just common sense. It's just the first thing you go to.
Yeah. Now, yeah, but that's not how it always used to be. Weapon switch back in the day was always 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then it got to the point where it's like, listen, this people are trying to hit 7 to use the super duper weapon. They want to use the super duper weapon, but they're going to get killed trying to switch to it because they're. Yeah.
You just got to have the monkey paws like me, and you're good to go.
I've got these short, stubbly little niblets for fingers. But on to the sponsors. So for our first unofficial sponsor, we have Gatherbot. This is the bot in my chat. It is, is basically how it's designed is if you give it a command, it will try. On most commands, it doesn't clutter up the chat. It PMs it to you. That's awesome. But how the hell are we sponsored by Gatherbot unofficially? They don't actually pay us money. We just use them as a service. Well, if you use mobile apps or stuff through their affiliation links, I get money that I can use to get a better computer that isn't a potato. or if you donate money through, like, say, like how you would, like, say, what a service like Streamlabs, where it's just PayPal. Here's $10. The $10 goes into an account that's set aside for me, and at the beginning of the next month, I get it. And that way, if some a-hole comes up like, here's $1,000, little does he know, I'm going to do a chargeback. Yeah, Gatherbot's going to deal with that, not me.
That's the way to do it,
and
man.
They will actually, like, full-on take your ass to court over it.
Oh, and just as a reminder, Bob,
mm-hmm.
you talk about your computer being a potato.
Mm-hmm.
In Portal 2, GLaDOS was a potato.
Bob, have this guy on more often. I like him now. I like him a lot more.
All right. But also, you can do free get. You also can earn sub points to get free subs. Speaking of subs, Zez?
I'm sorry, who?
Z? Shit.
I was waiting for it. I was like, is he going to call or am I going to? I'm going to wait. Just wait. Just wait.
Hey, you follow in the patterns, okay? But speaking of subs, Z.
Let's give a shout out to all the subscribers in Twitch Prime. If you already have an Amazon Prime account, just link that account to your Twitch, and that one free sub you get a month can support your favorite Twitch streamers like us, Bottle Rocket Gaming.
Some rando that got you on this site in the first place, like, you know. That's actually what I did for a couple months with Twitch Prime. Yeah. Like, hey, I still follow you. I still listen to you. Here's some. And I've found so many more streamers and stuff because of you. So here.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah. But, yeah. But also, thanks for the bits and cheers and all that wonderful stuff. It really does help. Every penny helps. Someone get Sarah McLachlan and play Arms of an Angel.
Jesus. Well, you are absolutely right, though. Every penny helps, especially as a small-time streamer. Every single penny helps. I'm not trying to discount big-time streamers. Obviously, every penny helps for them, but especially when you're small-time, because when you're going, you know, paycheck to paycheck with Twitch, going, Christ, am I going to be able to make the bill? Am I going to be able to pull off paying rent this month? Those couple extra pennies, believe it or not, folks do help a lot.
Oh, yeah. But lastly, our charity of the month, this being the month of us going into the month of June, and for the YouTube people, this being the month of June, since you guys get it 2 weeks later than everybody else, so there's another hint. You can watch it live. With it being Memorial Day weekend, of course, we're going to do StackUp.org. StackUp.org was founded in 2015 and brings the both veterans and civilian supporters together through a shared love of video gaming and through their primary programs like the Stacks, Supply Crates, Air Assaults, Stack Up Overwatch Program, or STOP for short. And Z, can you tell the fine people out there about the Stacks?
Okay. Well, the Stacks are local groups of volunteers that support veterans through the shared language of gaming to create and support welcoming and enabling environments.
And then you have the Stack Up Overwatch program, which is a program connecting veterans coping with PTSD, the general craziness of transitioning from military life to civilian life, or if you just need someone to talk to that day. They actually hook them up with veteran and civilian volunteers called the STOP Squad, who will be available 24/7, 365 on Discord server, and it's all in an effort to provide resources to promote mental health and suicide prevention. So if you want to donate to them, there is a link down below, as well as you can go to stackup.org and find their Discord server if you think these services would benefit you. So, extension tropes. Let's start off with what an extension trope is. Extension trope is a common recurring thing on most forms of media, to where they use it to pad out the plot, pad out the gameplay, and it can be something that is story-based or completely gameplay-based in nature, right? One of the most infamous ones is Super Mario Brothers. Your princess is in another castle. Go to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it got really bad in the RPGs, though. That's where it really started to hone itself in. Like, one of the greatest examples I could think of is Final Fantasy X, with the Dark Aeons, the Celestial Weapons, I believe it was called,
mm-hmm.
where you had to do, you didn't need to do the Dark Aeons for the Celestial Weapons, but hey, if you want to 100% this game, you got to go do these guys too. And you got to be 99, level 99 with 9999 health and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And you end up face rolling for hours on these damn things, you know?
Yeah. And there's actually, that's like the first one of the two ways that this trope is played. One is like to extend the gameplay. Mm-hmm. The other one is to extend a plot. Final Fantasy VI, when it's like, we stopped everything and now Kefka, and we killed the Emperor's dead. Oh, now Kefka's the big bad. Shit!
Or Far Cry 3, when you finally end up killing, what is his name? The guy that killed your brother right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. The only Far Cry game I played was Blood Dragon.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
They gave it everybody away for free last year.
By the way, Primal, go try it, folks. Don't listen to everybody when they say that it's terrible. Try it. It's the best Far Cry. But it's you go kill the big boss, the one that wronged you, that kidnapped you, that killed your brother. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, his boss is over here. Go face him now. You're like,
yeah.
I thought that was it. I thought it was done. What's going on here? Yeah, Come on.
Yeah, and they run dangers doing that because it takes away from player agency. From a story point perspective, right? If you don't write it correctly, it's like your agency was to get vengeance or to mm-hmm. right a wrong. Well, the wrong has been righted in your eyes. Why the fuck should you go after his boss? Oh, they give me a reason. Was it because the boss ordered him to do it? Was it because now that you've done that, the boss is going to go after you, so you have to do it so you can find some semblance of peace. What is it?
With Far Cry 3, legitimately, all I remember is just going, okay, he's the big bad guy. Go get him. Instead of going, is there a reason? He's the big bad boss. Go get him. Come on.
And that is so video gamey in a bad way. And I mean, yeah. 1980s big yeah. video game. It is you need to kick his ass. Why? He has a twirling mustache.
Natasha. Okay, enough. No, no, not going into Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Natasha, we must find Moose and Skrill. I am sorry to my Russian viewers out there.
God, I missed that cartoon. All right, moving on. But I don't know. You are right. It's something that came to plague gaming.
Yeah.
And you, when it was to extend gameplay, it was normally there just for if you want to do this, it's there.
Yeah.
Not you have to.
But even then, though, but it came from a game to where they used it as a way to go and, hey, you've only went through 3 levels. Come on now. You want more than 3 levels for a $60 game. And let's see.
Right.
3 × 8 is 24 levels in Mario Brothers.
Was it 24 levels? Son of a bitch, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, because you have 1, 2, castle. So, yep. 3 × 8.
Yeah. See, I always kind of thought of the 3 and the 1 was just one level.
Yeah.
Because it was all the same world.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you have worlds and you have levels, and it's like,
yeah.
Because it's like, it'd be a specific level that would fuck me up.
Very
then you get then you get to Mario Brothers 3, and then there's a different number of levels per world, but you still had 8 worlds.
Yeah.
Just throw it to Mario 3, really, they just kind of threw it out, just like, fuck it.
Let's have some fun.
Hey.
They actually make fun of it in Super Mario because you get letters from Peach because she's adventuring as well in the background.
Yeah.
In the story.
Honestly, hey, dude, I thought that was one of the best games out there.
Yeah, it is.
I think 3 is probably the single best Mario Brothers game out there.
Super Mario.
I personally am more of a world boy. Like, 3's got the better aesthetic, but World's got the better power-ups and gameplay systems.
And to be fair, let me qualify this a little further. I actually like Super Mario 3 from the Super Nintendo remake.
The All-Stars. Mm,
yep.
The All-Stars.
Yeah, the All-Stars. They made the art even better.
Ugh. Me? I think even better than both of those. Because I went and thought about it again. By far, Super Mario RPG. So good.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. Okay,
I want to say it's probably the best Mario game, but it's kind of cheating because it's a side game, if that makes sense.
Ow. I get you could also say Sunshine was a side game, but it was still a game. It was still a Mario game.
Oh, and it's still, but it's a platformer, so it's like it's still definitely.
I would.
Yeah, but when you do, like, it's like 2D Mario versus 3D Mario, like 2D Mario World is my favorite. 3D Mario, I haven't played Odyssey, so I have nothing to speak on that, but I will say Super Mario 3D Land I enjoyed.
3D Land?
Yeah, it was the one on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never even heard of that one.
With the cat, it's one with the cat suits and shit. But
never even heard of it, man.
But as far as like his side games, and that's like the Mario RPGs, the Superstar Sagas, the Paper Marios, and blah, blah, blah. Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo was my favorite.
If we're gonna slide off into Mario RPG games, I have to say, Thousand Year Door is the single best.
I've heard so many people talk about that game, and that wasn't that one of the Paper Mario ones too.
It's actually the second Paper Mario.
It was on the GameCube. Okay.
Paper Mario, then it was Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door, followed up by Super Paper Mario on the
Wii. It's on the Wii.
Which. Completely decimated.
Then they had Sticker Star Saga.
See, like, I looked at the game and I just kind of looked at it and instantly I was like, this doesn't look like something I'm going to like. There's something about it.
It's very cathartic.
Yeah.
But without getting too far into it, because we still got a lot to cover, hopefully. But whatever we don't cover, oh well. It's basically a game to where it's turn-based, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Mario and a sidekick character. The sidekick character are good versions of all the enemies in classic Mario games, like Booze, a Goomba, a Koopa, a Paracoopa,
really?
A Ba-Bomb, yeah.
Really? I see. I always thought it was just like the platforming stuff. I just saw the
That would be Super Paper Mario. Unfortunately, that one was a platformer.
Oh, okay.
But
well, in that case, I might have to give this a try.
But Paper Mario 1 and 2, you have like world exploration, which is very platformy esque, right? But it's more of a puzzle game in a way. Then you have the actual gameplay, which is a turn based RPG, and the vein of Super Mario RPG just pared down a lot more to where it's a lot more accessible to a younger audience.
And what the mechanic that really that I really enjoyed about
the badge system?
Thousand Year Door. Well, no, is actually the fact that you're on stage.
Oh yeah, yeah. In the Thousand Year Door, you have audience interaction.
Yeah.
Like you have an audience watching you, and they can throw stuff to help you out, to hurt you, to help the enemy out, to hurt them.
If you do,
you can beat up the audience.
If you do a major attack, you can like knock a light off of the knock a stage light down and hit an enemy, or the background might fall and hit the enemy, do damage. It gives a kind of an interesting little mechanic.
Why the fuck haven't I given this a try yet? This sounds amazing, dude.
It came out on the GameCube. It's ages old, and the thing about it is it aged well.
Yeah. Like, because of the cartoony aesthetic, it didn't age poorly, like most polygonal games from the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jesus Christ, I just went to a look for it.
RPG.
$140, dude.
Yeah. It's a collector's item now.
If you do you have a Wii?
I have one in the closet somewhere.
If you do, at least at one point it was available on the Virtual Console.
I think they cut off the Wii store.
Shit. I don't know.
I believe they did. But moving on to the second, one of the other tropes, cut and paste exact environments. Wow, this area looks exactly like the past three dungeons I was in.
That really went to the wayside as gaming developed, I feel.
Yeah.
Luckily. But it's still out there some, unfortunately, I think.
I mean, there's some places where it's unavoidable, like roguelike games.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, like, Binding of Isaac, I was just about to bring up, actually.
Yeah.
Where you just can't avoid it, you know?
Yeah. But with that one, at least, like, I get to level, like, the next level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, level 2 has a different aesthetic from level 1, but level 1's always going to look the same. The layout's going to be the same. Thankfully, they've gotten away from this, but sometimes when a game's so big, some shortcuts need to be made like that.
Mm-hmm. Well.
The next one is the one that bothers.
What's that?
We really wanted to make a movie. You know, an overabundance of cutscenes, such in certain games involving a spy named after a tangible reptile. Bum, 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 bum. Solid Snake?
Solid Snake.
Oh, I hated Metal Gear Solid with every ounce of my being.
They're so cutscene heavy, and I love the games, but they're so cutscene heavy.
Dude, I'm not... This is why games like that fail. Are you ready? And what you talk about with what we really want to make a movie. I was sitting on stream playing that. And I was so excited to try. I was like, oh, God, I can't wait to try Metal Gear Solid. I made it 3 hours in. I'm going, is there going to be gameplay? Because then I did the whole stealth thing. Like, oh, that was fun. Oh, another movie. Okay, another movie. I broke some chick out. I fought a boss. Like, oh, that was fun. Oh, wait, another movie. And then this movie lasted 15 fucking minutes. To the point,
and it's not skippable.
I legitimately took my headphones off, laid back, and just started to fall asleep. All of a sudden, I looked up, like, oh, it's done. And then I sat and went, oh shit, where am I supposed to go? You had to listen to the whole 15 minutes and take notes, or else you'd have no idea what to do.
Oh yeah, and then there's an entire thing with original Metal Gear Solid to where they only know how to contact Meryl if you actually own the game case, because the thing was on the back of the box, and they point that out in the game, totally breaking the fourth wall so hard that I'm still picking shards of it out of my fucking eye.
And here's the thing,
I love the game. I love the game.
How?
Oh, easy.
I'm gonna bring up a game.
VR missions? The VR missions, which was a separate game, right?
Yes.
But to me, that was the closest thing you got to an expansion pack for the PlayStation 1. But it was just, go in, fuck with the guards. Go out.
To me,
go in, fuck with the guards. Go out.
To me, there is one game that's worse than Metal Gear Solid. As far as this is concerned. Quantum Break.
Yeah, they legitimately had 30-minute movies and your controller would go to sleep.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah, it was literally 30-minute TV episodes.
See, another one that was...
That were filmed, edited, they looked great, but the thing is, you know, maybe, you should have like made a Netflix show, right? For that, right? You make a Netflix show for that, right? And do a partnership with Netflix to make a little bit extra money to fund the gameplay. That way, the gameplay sections weren't buggy and fucking broken.
It's like
full motion video like that went out in the 90s. I mean, yes, Wing Commander 4 had it. Had full motion video.
With Mark Hamill.
Yes. Yes, he was
And I can't remember which, but I know the bully from Back to the Future was in those games too.
Somebody else in that? There was another big name character in that series, and I can't think of who it is either. There were some big name actors in Wing Commander 4 and 5.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was like Wing Commander 4 and 5, subtitle, we have a budget now.
But it's like,
I remember getting it back on the Sega CD, and that was, you know, like, holy shit, you see how cool this is? Look, it's full motion video. This is cool shit.
Yeah.
A little bit further on, you're like, can we do something else here?
It's full motion video, also known, it's an MP4.
Pretty fucking much. One that would always...
Cat. Okay.
I saw your kitty cat there. See, the one that was
First
always...
Of all, let's stop and say hi.
Hi, what's Silver.
Hi, Silver. How you doing, kiddos? Oh, it's a cute kitty. One that was terrible for me, though, and where video game companies learned the wrong message. And this is common with video game companies, but Squeenix especially, because fucking Squeenix.
Trust me, we went over video games companies learning the wrong message when we talked about the Wii, because remember the Move and the Kinect? It's like, no. You need to make more accessible games. It's not the waggle everybody's infatuated with.
See, I'll get into that in a second if we have time. But Final Fantasy VIII, you went from Final Fantasy VII, this amazing game that made you feel. That was the very first time in my entire life I ever cried over pixels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. And then Final Fantasy VIII came by like, oh, they love movies. Put more of them in. No, we loved what with the movies. What the point?
We
of the
loved characterization.
That's exactly it.
Then the thing about Final Fantasy VIII that aggravated me. The other thing that they learned wrong is, they like the ability that they can take magic from one person and do it to another person. How can we make this worse? Let's make them draw for magic.
That was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. I remember I was expecting materia, right? I was like, well, it wasn't in 6, but it was in 7. It worked so well, I'm expecting materia. No, not the way you're used to. You got to go draw it off of some asshole or off of a spot in the world. Dude, yeah. I legit abandoned magic that entire game because of that. I just gave up, man.
For,
oh, it was so awful.
For my second year anniversary in AA... My sponsor gave me his discs, his physical copy of the PC version of Final Fantasy VIII. He's like, listen, if you can handle this and not go to drinking, you're good.
I was just about to say, did you go back to drinking during it? I would just snap. There it is. I started drinking again, asshole.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
He knew how much I fucking hated that game.
You know, he is right, though. If you can handle that, you can handle fucking anything.
At least when it comes to gaming.
Yeah. Shit.
Okay, speaking of specifically RPGs.
13.
Let's not talk about Funnel Hallway. Speaking of RPGs.
Yes.
Absurdly high level caps, or like level requirements for certain things. Either one. Like, I have played RPGs. There's a technical RPG to where its level cap is one level shy of 10,000. Disgaea 3.
Oh, I forgot about Disgaea.
That's a game series to where it's all about the grind.
I've been trying to forget about that game.
Hey, I like those games.
Disgaea, I tried the remaster of the very first one on the PSP. And I really enjoyed about a quarter of it.
I mean, here's the thing. I enjoyed it. Like, the story is fun to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got funny writing. It's done very well. However, if you want to get the extra shit, you're going to have to create characters, get them all the way up there, which is hard as hell to level up a underleveled character in that game because how the system works.
Yeah.
Mana to spend, you reset them to get a S version of a level 1 to where they level get a better boost per level, stat boost per level on how they level up if you want the very best version of that character.
Dude, it's been so long since I played any of this. I completely forgot about any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, it is such a... But it's like, another example is like in Final Fantasy VII, the final weapons.
You know, like, let's not destroy weapon, my favorite video like game kick, ever, please.
To kick his ass, it... Like, you gotta be up there, and he is a bitch.
Oh, God. Go ahead, buddy.
Another game that's really good about making it so you can level higher than your opponents, Pokemon.
True.
Because you can level all the way up to level 100 on your... I think in the most of the main games, you had the final four. Final four, I think, are only 60, level 65.
You know, that game, I tried so hard. I tried so hard to get into Pokemon because I played Gold on stream. That was the first time I played Pokemon since I was like 12, right?
Yeah.
So I tried so freaking hard to get into Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I beat the first six. I'm like, all right, here come the final four. And the game's like, oh, LOL, guess what? Here's another six. I went, you're fucking joking, right?
Yeah, Gold and Silver, how it works is... you beat the first six, then you go back to the first eight gym leaders, right? Then you're like, we're going to go take you now as a bonus, and it was a really novel bonus at the time. You're going to go back where Red and Blue happened. That's what
you're
that was
right.
About.
That's where they did send us, huh?
Yeah.
That's what that was. Red and Blue. So you get to fight Lieutenant Surge, Brock, Misty. I thought it was really novel, but I was also, when I played Gold and Silver, it was on the Game Boy Color, not Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and it wasn't dead smack in the middle of Pokemania.
I tried, but the grind got so bad. Like, I'm an RPG-er, man. I love grinding games. I don't know why. It's an addiction. Like, if I don't have to, there I am just on stream, you know.
You haven't gotten to the hard grind in Pokemon.
Beating Red.
No. Competitive teaming. Trying to grind certain types of Pokemon, certain movesets in Pokemon for competitive gaming.
Oh, that's right. On the DS or whatever, they have online capability now, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if you take that out of it, like Heart Gold and Soul Silver, right? Or even regular Gold and Silver, right? Once you get through everything, right? To extend the gameplay even more. And this I actually enjoyed. I really did. You could be Red, who is canonically the person that you played in Red and Blue. And he has obscene level characters. Like, he has like a level 99 Pikachu, okay?
Yeah. So he's going to give you a run for your money then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you have to be the very best, like no one ever was, to fucking beat his ass.
Please don't finish that song.
I will come through this internet cable. I will jump into the Ethernet cable. I will go through the interwebs. I will come out your microphone hole and strangle you.
Well, speaking of which, we do have a command in chat called exclamation point slap at username. And it will actually go use so-and-so slap so-and-so with something random.
Bob, how many times have you been slapped by a dildo?
Three?
Probably more times than you can count.
You know, I actually have a funny story about this.
let's save that one.
Ah, you suck.
It's like, no.
Folks, it's his fault, not mine. I was going to be nice enough to let loose of the story.
But
Bob, I want to skip a couple because there's one that I want to hit on this because it brings me to one of my favorite games.
Go for it.
And that is the Endless Game.
Oh, God. Sometimes that's awesome. Sometimes it's awful.
Yeah.
It's like
such as like Fallout 3 where you could play after the ending or...
No, where you get more and more randomly generated levels, randomly generated players. Just, it does not fucking... Like, you don't beat it. You just do a little bit better each time.
FTL is a prime example.
That's one of the very few of those I actually enjoy besides like Binding of Isaac and FTL, the only two I could really think of where I really got into them. And Risk of Rain too.
Well, here's the thing.
Death Road to Canada is randomly generated. It's a different game every time you play it.
Well, here's the thing with this one. Endless Game is a game that literally has no win state. Right?
Fair enough.
If they're like, so like a classic example is Pac-Man, right? Once they fixed the kill screen issue, there was no win state. It just kept fucking going.
I think it went up to
256. On the 256th level, there would be a bit overflow because they're using a 256 kilobyte thing for memory allocation for the level.
And then you've got, but even with a. But even if you're doing like a sandbox mode for Planet Coaster, Scott, it's an endless no win scenario. It just keeps going.
Yeah. Like you do have, but like there are games that are designed with the shit in mind. And if I would
Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah, Kerbal Space Program isn't. Oh, it's like no, like any objectives you have, you give yourself. And
well, I mean, even when you play the career mode, you know, you do have objectives. You know, like, they have things that
you have milestones. Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately there is no end game. You can just keep sending shit up into space until you run your computer out of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've only played that game maybe at most 10 times my entire life. It was so much fun, but it was just like, after about 10 times, you're like, okay, I made a rocket, I sent it up, what do I do now? I got to the moon. Yeah, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? No. Oh, boy.
Somebody that I watch made a giant Titanic, sent it up, and crashed it into the moon.
Okay, you know what? You just destroyed my entire argument. Thanks, Bob.
But I can link you the video later.
But it's like once you get to the moon, and like you know what, when you get to like you know not Mars, not like where do you go? What do you do? What do, like you know, I've done everything I can, But the game doesn't have, like, congratulations, you win, or, you know, there's no end goal. It's go as far as you can. A lot of, like, strategy and simulation games suffer from this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's a harder genre to get into, at least for me, is because, okay, your tutorials typically suck. And then it's like, okay, what's my end goal? Because that will keep me playing. It's like, yeah. I got to do this one thing. And I was like, okay, I've done this one thing. Now what? Well, I'm done.
As soon as you say shitty tutorials, the first thing I think of is Final Fantasy 15. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, awful. Awful. See what you did? You brought the RPG on and you expect me not to talk about Final Fantasy. That's all I could think of is just terrible, terrible, awful tutorials. Like, I got done. Like, remember somebody's like, hey, this is your first time playing? Yeah. Make sure to watch tutorials. You have to. Got done. I'm like,
I am so confused.
Right?
Like, and here's the thing. Tutorials should... Okay, it's a video game, right? Tutorials shouldn't be watched. They should be played through. And they should be done in a way that's completely organic to the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And towards... It doesn't feel like you're being... It doesn't feel like you're going down an anal beat of game design.
To me, the worst game for tutorials, the way they're done, was Last Remnant.
Oof.
Not actually a horrible game, but the tutorials make it feel that way.
Since I did play Call of Duty yesterday... This mm-hmm. one is actually very prevalent in the Call of Duty franchise, and a lot of first-person shooters are level-based. Bag of spilling. Wait, didn't I have, like, a butt-ton of ammo and RPG in the last level? What the fuck happened to it?
Why did they do that? I get the challenge, but you figured it would carry over, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I get it. You went from one mission, got haloed out of there, and you went to another mission. I had the RPG. I would have took it with me. Trust me.
Ask the army guy. He's like, I would have I cuddle with the thing at night. Come on now.
It's like, I would use that in this arcadey-ass video game. Trust me. Why? Two words. Rocket jump.
Oh, God. That was... Quake that got it? Yep, that's what I thought. Okay.
Quake was the first big one with rocket jumps to the point to where people would actually make maps that was based around a mechanic and they turned it into a fucking platformer.
Wait, really? Yes. I missed that whole wave.
Yeah, this was like mid to late 90s where that shit started popping up everywhere.
Of course, and it was when I decided to walk away from it. No shit, huh? See, I was always way bigger into Unreal than Quake, so maybe that's why I missed it.
But I can't think of a RPG that's done it, but I can think of situations that could be used in an RPG. Your character's in prison. They had all their items taken away from them. For this next stretch of the gameplay, you have shit. You have, like, you have base weapons, and that's it. And no items. Good luck!
Do you one better? Final Fantasy VII, when you get to Wutai, if I remember correctly, it's pronounced.
Yeah, okay.
And she steals all your goddamn material, everything. You're like, so I have this weapon, and I have all these materia mobs coming at me where you have to damage them with magic. Well, fuck, Rod!
That is a situation to where it's a bowel movement followed by a physical movement. Oh, shit! Run! did I almost kill you, Stacy?
Yeah.
The next one that you've got on the list is probably my least favorite.
What? New game plus.
Oh, Bloodborne and Dark Souls.
Okay, here's the thing. New game plus, when it's a game where I'm like, I want to play this again, and I've done everything, like The Witcher 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
They added a free DLC to add in New Game Plus. My first run through with that game was on Death March, the hardest difficulty. I'm like, please, I want to go through and dominate these bitches now.
I've beat Dark Souls, all three of them. The third one I haven't beat yet because I think it's the worst in the entire series, and it's just, bleh. It's a bleh game because they destroyed poise. They changed the way poise works. Instead of it being just poise, a number that's always there, it's only activated when you're doing a certain move. So to me, Dark Souls 3 wasn't as fun because I couldn't spank. I just couldn't tank. My favorite style of playing is tank. So, I beat Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2 numerous times, stuff like that. And every single time the new game option came up, I was like, do I really want to do this?
Do I really want to do this to myself?
Right? That's the thing. Like, I know how hard this is going to be. I barely beat the Rage Quit Twins as it is in Dark Souls 1. Do I really want to face them again, but even harder? Really? Do I want to do this to myself? I don't think so. And I always just start a brand new character,
Right. I think it's actually really cool for game, because it's optional. You don't have to do it. Now, if they locked behind, the true ending is on your third playthrough of the game, fuck you.
Wasn't it Ninja Gaiden that did that?
No idea. But if, I know that one of the earliest examples of New Game Plus was the true ending was locked behind the second playthrough of Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh, shit, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Luckily, they don't pull that shit anymore because everybody was pissed. Because that game was not easy on the first way through.
If it was easy, it'd be like, yeah, whatever, done. No, it wasn't. That took your shit and pushed it in, man. Dude, I to this day, I still haven't beat that game. I could not imagine New Game Plus version of it.
I beat that game completely, both ways through, once. It took me a month.
I can't say I'm surprised, and I'm not judging you either.
Now, here's all the bullshit I had to do to figure it out, right? I would record my gameplay while playing it and go and take screenshots of the map to where I had the enemy. Where I'd go okay, here's the enemy placement, here's the blah, 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 and I would fucking draw what I need to do for my best route.
Nice.
And to make notes on the side going, okay, if I don't have this item here, I'm fucked, start over.
See, I remember, what was it? It was there was a certain item that you never wanted to get. Wasn't it the dagger?
Basically, it's useless.
Yep. No matter what, if you got that, just call the game. You're done for. Screw it.
You could push through it, hopefully, if you could get the lance. But there's a part where you needed the holy book at a certain spot, otherwise you were fucked. And it was isn't the second to last level too. So you're just like, no. And if you die, you lose your item. So if you die there, you're just start the game over, because there's no way through.
Ugh.
I cannot tell you how many times I got to the second last level on the second run through and had to start all the way over on the first run through because of that shit.
I'm trying to think of this.
And that's when I discovered what save states were.
You know what? They became the gamer's best friend, honestly.
But yeah, new game and New Game Plus can be if it's hey, you don't get to keep all your shit, but you can keep some of the best shit, right? You don't get to keep all your items. You're still going to have to farm for that shit as far as, shit to heal you, blah, blah, blah. But the enemy's going to be a little bit tougher. The enemy placement's going to be a little bit different to make it more challenging and a little bit more nuanced. I like that in a game I really enjoy. I hate that when they're guys, I enjoyed this game. However, I didn't get smacked around this much since I was a kid by my dad. What the fuck?
Makes me think of the person that you had hosted before the podcast started.
Yeah. No, Daddy, not the belt. Why did you name your channel that? I'm going to find him next time you stream and going, why? I have nothing against you personally. I just want to know why.
Why?
Well,
but, and say if there's a bunch of missions towards I beat the game, now what? And they have a bunch of in-game stuff. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as an RPG.
I guess I can't say that I hate New Game Plus, because there is one game that I thought did it well, because there was the only, if I remember correctly, it's the only way you can get the ultimate weapon, and that was Fable.
Oh God, Fable! That shit.
Okay, this is a bitch of mine.
Because I think I think you had to play all the way through. Back through to get Avo's tier, because you have to have like a retardedly high strength. So you either had to have like a million strength potions, or play through regame, which starts you with the same base stats as whatever you die at. And then play through again.
Yeah, here's the thing. Guys, if you're going to give me the best weapon of the game, make sure it's before the final boss.
Or you want this to be easy, Ziploc?
No. Let me earn it. But for the love of God, let me have a use for it. Because, like, oh, I got the best weapon in the game. Well, what's left to kill? Random mobs.
Right, dude.
That is such a fucking frustration. Like, it seems so... It feels like I just won the Marvel No Prize.
The Marvel No Prize?
Marvel used to have this thing to where you... If you had a really good comment, that they would send you a thing that said, no prize. It's like you won this envelope, but you didn't actually win a prize, but you won. You know?
What the shit?
Yeah, it's like Marvel. It was a joke everybody thought was fun and cute. You know?
I like DC better.
But it was the Marvel No Prize, because like they couldn't award everybody like on sometimes weekly or biweekly or monthly basis a fucking prize. Even when they weren't in their heyday at the time. Because this is during the 90s when they were trying not to go bankrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, they went through a really rough time before they're like, somebody buy us, we'll be your whores.
Oh, no.
All comics did that, really, though.
That's a whole thing. But they were doing good before they got bought by Disney. It's them doing good that got them bought by Disney.
True. I would say it's less doing good, more they had a history of doing well, even though they had a bad point in time there.
Well, the 90s was bad for everybody. Like, even DC wasn't selling that well. The reason why it was worse for Marvel is because they weren't corporately backed. DC was corporately backed by Warner Brothers.
Oh, son of a bitch, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, Bob, this is the last category is right up your alley.
Mini games. Let's see. You have betting, fishing, hacking, hot coffee. Oh, my. Persuasion. Right. Racing mini games. Actually, I think Persuasion and Hot Coffee kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But
will you fuck me?
I'm pretty sure that's why you play Stardew.
Maybe. Will you fuck me? Maybe. Will you fuck me? Maybe. Will you fuck me? Okay.
Is that how that works? Son of a bitch, you've been doing it wrong this whole time. I've been buying flowers and dinner. Shit.
Like, one of the biggest games that does this well, before they took it out because it was like, oh, this like has gambling aspects and we don't want that in a game marketed for kids. Pokemon.
Where in Pokemon was that?
In Pokemon Red and Silver, in the original releases, you had gambling halls. You also, I think in Silver and Forward, you also could you also had the mini game to where you went on a Pokemon fashion show to where you could put cute ribbons and bows and stuff on your Pokemon. You could capture Pokemon by fishing for water types.
Well, and then
fishing makes sense, though.
Yeah, but that I'm not saying that like these are bad tropes. I'm just saying they are tropes of games.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Z. I'm sorry, buddy.
No, you're fine. Speaking of Pokemon, even in Ruby and Sapphire, you had the what did they call that? Because you had the main game, but then you had the
Safari
contest,
Zone.
Pokemon contest. No, you had the Pokemon contest, which give you no real reward, but you just basically show off what your Pokemon looks like. And then in Alpha and Omega versions for the 3DS, you could actually take pictures of your Pokemon, you can actually capture shots and trade them.
Yeah, it just gives you something else to do if you feel like it.
More and more, every time you guys talk about this, reminds me of why I'm so glad I left Pokemon behind.
we'll turn you into a Pokemon player before too.
If not, at least you know what the fuck you're talking about. We'll give you that much.
See, there you go.
I doubt we'll, trust me, I know Stacy more than you do, Z. I guarantee you will not turn him into a player, but at least he'll at least listen to us enough to gain an understanding.
Like I said, I gave it a good chance. I tried, but once I found out, oh, by the way, here's 8 more you never knew about, I was like, fuck you guys, I'm done with your entire series.
To be fair, it is a good RPG series.
Yeah.
It is arguably one of the most popular RPG series ever.
But there's just so little story to make it worthwhile to me. That was the biggest problem. If there would have been a good story that was worthwhile to dig into and made me feel, I would have groaned.
Yeah, the thing is like I consider it a trainer wheel RPG, and I do not mean that a diss against it. It's just like it's very easy to jump into if you're young.
Yeah. But if you look at some of the series, if you look at some of the entries in the series, now, like me, I wasn't a big fan of Sun and Moon. They just didn't hit a, they didn't strike a chord with it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you look at, Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, they were a modernization of the original Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, they're complete remakes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The story, if I remember right, and I'm about to piss off some Pokemon fans here. In Ruby and Sapphire, the Team Rocket prototypes is you had two teams based upon which version you bought. One wanted to basically set the world on fire and lava for their avatar, and the other one wanted to flood it for their avatar. Well, and you were trying to stop them.
Okay.
Well, the ones that were
very much in depth, but it would be much. But it was always presented in that Team Rocket way to where you're just beating the shit out of them on your journey to be the very best.
To be fair, the Team Magma, the ones who wanted, as you put it, set the world on fire, they actually wanted to expand the land so people have a place to live.
Yeah.
The Team Aqua wanted to expand the water so Pokemon could survive.
Well, the water types, at least.
But there was, you know, there is a... It's what they're one of the groups that... It's like, they're bad, but not for bad reasons.
Yeah. It's like, their idea makes sense until you go, wait, what are the moral ramifications of this?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really what it boils down to, is the moral ramifications of it. It's not like a simple, you know, hey, here's a bad guy. You know, they're bad because they killed off a bunch of people. No, they're bad because they're thinking about it, but they're also doing it for good reason.
Yeah, but the same thing about good reason, like what the good reasons are.
Well, what's that old saying, though? The best of intentions, I can't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one in the series that was really good, and I can't think of what color it was, but it's the one that has Team Plasma. They're stealing Pokemon from people because they think that Pokemon need to be free. They don't need to be.
They basically consider it dogfighting.
Yeah, basically.
Like, but seriously, they go really hard into it, and you're like, shit, they have a point.
Yeah, they really do. And they're like, the only reason we're fighting with Pokemon is because we need to beat other Pokemon to take them away from their owners to set them free, essentially.
Yeah.
So there was some deep topics in Pokemon. So
yeah, there were deep topics, but they'd always go surface level is their big problem.
I would say maybe it was just the fact that I only played red, red, blue, gold and silver. Yeah, it was just
like, oh, you're trying to take down a gang. That's your team.
That's exactly what it was. I was just like, oh, they're in a radio tower for some reason. Why? I was like, what the hell, man? You know, I was like, meh. You know, that's the absolute best way to put it. It was just meh. You know, one of these days, I ordered a fucking DS from a 3DS with the capture device attached to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are not fucking cheap.
Yeah.
Who? Tatsu Kitty?
Not sure. All I know is it never showed up. And I've never been able to get a hold of them ever since. So magically, my $500 is now gone. Yeah, I'm lucky, son of a bitch. So I don't know what the hell I'm going to do now. Shit. So when I finally get a 3DS, I'm going to try. I'll give it another chance off air so I don't have to, you know, bitch about grinding nonstop on air. How about that?
Yeah, like, here's the thing with RPGs I've learned to do when it comes to streaming is you do the grind when you're not streaming.
Yeah, like a great one, Final Fantasy IV After Years. I'm at a point in the game where I can't go any further because I'm too low level. I spent 3 days straight grinding that game. I only played the Final Fantasy on Fridays. Despite how much I want to, I'm forced myself to only play it because Final Fantasy Friday. So three Final Fantasy Fridays in a row. It was just too much. I walked away from the fucking game. I just couldn't do it anymore, you know?
Right. And I remember that Friday we were like, listen, we're playing something else. The grind has gotten too real.
You remember that.
Speaking of mini games.
I've got a good one for mini games.
Grand Theft Auto, dude.
Well, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't do any of them because I was so bored by them.
Yeah.
What about Dragon Quest VII?
I've never really played that one.
Same here, unfortunately. I love the Dragon Quest series, but...
Journey of the Cursed King.
As much as I love the Dragon Quest series, for some reason, that particular one, I stopped playing like after 2, I think. I don't know why, I just stopped, despite how much I loved them.
You're missing out, man. That is a great game to me.
Yeah, well, okay, here's the thing. You know how you really love Final Fantasy? Dragon Quest is right up your alley. They just stuck with the medieval themes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the gameplay's the same.
Yeah.
The other thing I like is I don't want to say they don't take themselves too seriously. It's a serious game, but it's like, we know this is an RPG game.
Yeah.
So we're going to abuse that.
But, you know, they're gonna make fun of themselves. Like, they have, like, one of the enemies you fight in the Dragon Quest series is a set of, brain just went completely out the window. A bunch of squid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're called the Calamari Kid.
Tasty.
But they have fun with their names. You know, their enemies are fun.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not all, you know, super high dragons that can, you know, come barreling in from outer space. You know, it's... Yes, that was a reference to Bahamut.
I like this one, Bob. Keep him around.
Yes, that was a reference to Bahamut.
No, sorry, my upstairs neighbor was stomping around, and I'm like, did my neighbor's kid get fatter?
But, you know, they have fun with their character. But they also have, in there, they have a... mini game that you can kind of find early, but you can't do anything with. You find special versions of common enemies.
Okay.
That once you reach a certain level and once you reach a certain area, you can start collecting for, you know, arena fights.
Okay.
So you can send them for you can get these groups and make arena fighting groups that you send out as a mini game inside of the game.
Yeah. They actually made an entire game based off of that. It was Dragon Quest Monsters. That became its own series.
Really?
Yes. I know Dragon Quest Monsters Joker was on the DS, and that was one of the first games I got for the DS. It was like Pokemon, but awesome.
See, the last...
Like, Pokemon's good, but this was awesome.
When it comes to Dragon Quest, there was only one of the newer Dragon Quests I played, and it was for the Wii. I only played it, I think, twice before I was like, "This is the
best ones appeal of this story."
Yeah, I was about to say because it wasn't like, you know, where you walked around RPG. You had to sit there and because it's the fucking Wii, so you have to do something with motion.
Eh.
Yes, yeah. So there I am, just going like, "Okay, yes, I'm fighting." Fuck, my arm's getting tired. Okay, it's like. Like I said, after 2 days, like this, the appeal of this is gone.
Was
it like Dragon Quest Heroes?
Yes.
Wait. That's what it was. Dragon Quest Heroes, the PC version, 1 and 2, are fucking
really
awesome because all those games are at the end of the day is they figured out a way to incorporate a lot of the quest systems and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
From, Dragon Quest itself, and incorporate it with the Koei Tecmo Dynasty Warriors fighting mechanic.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. It was Dragon Quest Swords. I'm sorry. Because okay. Swords Heroes. I don't know.
No. Heroes was awesome. Swords, yeah, that was trash.
It was fun for about an hour until you're like, my arms suck. I hate this so much.
Yeah, like, trust me. Like, I love Quest. Legend of Zelda, but I'm not playing Skyward Sword ever again. Until they make a HD remake of it to where I don't have to use motion. Until then.
But Dragon Quest is actually the reason I'm excited for September. The first Dragon Quest that's going to be out on a PC drops in September.
Oh, it's going to be an actual mainline Dragon Quest game?
Yes, it's an actual numbered Dragon Quest game. It's 11? 12? Something like that.
Now if we can get Square to, like, you know, transfer all other numbered Dragon Quest games and not do any iOS bullshit, I'm good.
You were talking about getting a 3DS. They did release Dragon Quest 7 and 8 on 3DS,
which are some of the best ones.
And they are really damn good.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, they're some of the best ones. Oh yeah, and also the person who did the artwork did a lot of the character designs and artwork, even in its earliest phases, was Akira Toriyama, the guy that's famous for Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, no kidding, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also did the artwork for Chrono Trigger.
Oh, that was such a good game.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good game. But, God, I missed... Oh, like, God, you're making me play it again, dude.
One of our viewers... Eastberg LP says he liked Dragon Quest Builder, and I'm like, dude, I've been wanting to play it. I just don't own a copy because I'm broke. I'm taking all my money to
get the to PC. A better computer.
Yeah.
To a not potato computer.
Yeah. I need to get a 1080 again.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, a 2080.
1180.
Oh, it's going to be 1180?
Yeah. To give you some idea, the 1070, the 1170
mm-hmm.
outperforms the 1080 Ti.
Well, shit. So I'm saving up another $3,000 for this. This should only take me another 2 years.
Actually, one of the things they've done is they've done something to the chipset that doesn't allow it to mine.
Oh, yes! Yes!
If I'm not mistaken, they did something that prevents it from mining, so it's only marketing for, like, gamers. So they're using it as a way to keep costs down on them, to keep them from price gouging again.
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't the miners that was killing me. It was the resellers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you cannot get around resellers.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but Yeah.
But back to the mini games. Like, there's so many games out there to where it's like, yes, we got a couple mini games to, like, extend your time in the game world. Final Fantasy VIII, I believe, started with the card system game that was optional, and it really did not give you that much.
Yeah.
See,
then there's Final Fantasy 15, where the mini games on the side, the little side mini game, the fishing, all that crap, it doesn't give you shit except for some nicer food if you want that, and you can sell it.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, it's not necessary to do, which, as long as they keep it that way, I'm fine with it.
Right, dude.
Like, because here's the thing, I might enjoy it. I might enjoy it, but if I feel like it becomes a chore for 100% completion, fuck you.
See, with Fallout New Vegas, though, it was a regular old card game that was really easy to understand. It wasn't, once again, it wasn't necessary. It was just if you want to have fun. That's what was great about it. You know, you could just have fun.
Fun was first.
Yep.
And like another good one that did it really well.
I never could get into playing Caravan, but.
Oh, Caravan. I to this day, Fallout New Vegas is my favorite Fallout ever made, and I still have no fucking idea how to play Caravan, man.
You know, there's wikis over just Caravan now.
I can believe it.
Because it's that hard to dissect. But last note before I pass over the floor over to you, Stacy, completely for your 5 minutes of fame. Well, second to last, there is one more thing I need to ask of you. But my favorite game when it came to the mini games, where I actually started playing those more than the actual fucking game itself, sadly enough. Because they were just, it was fun.
Yeah.
Was, there was a Wario game for the Game Boy Color, I think.
Like, Wario Land?
It was like Wario Land 3, I think. It's like the third one. And it had this crazy fucking casino game to where it's just like, yep, this fits Wario a little too fucking well.
No shit, huh?
Greedy little bastard.
See, I played Wario Land 1 and 2, but never touched 3 for some reason. Despite how much I love, once again, how much I love Mario.
3 was a downhill.
Wario, excuse me. Really?
Yeah, it was like they were trying too much too fast.
Well, in that case, I'm glad they never did.
So, this is the part of the stream to where we get to pick who is going to be the lucky winner of a nice, shiny sub to the channel. So, who wants it? Just say me in chat, or we're just going to pick somebody, or Stacy's just going to pick someone at random.
We'll give a second for the me's to kick up.
Yeah, right.
Has to be distinctly 3 me's or else you don't get it. 2? No way. 4? You get banned. Only 3.
Yeah. 4 me's is an insta ban.
Yeah, because at this point, it'll be meme.
Oh, exactly. Jesus. Wah.
Or may.
May. Since the person who's been chatting the most just wanted to give it to Eisenberg then?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Eisenberg, congratulations, man!
Meme.
Instaman! Comes back with the meme. Jesus.
Okay. Yes, I'm sure I want to give him the sub. Thank you. Okay, I've done my work, so we'll see a message anywhere from 5 minutes to 24 hours, depending on how heavy their servers are. And he'll have.
Is that how long the gift servers take now? The gift subs take now?
Oh, no, because it goes through Gatherbot.
Oh,
Gatherbot that takes that long.
Sounds good. I thought you meant like Twitch is like, holy shit, what happened?
No. It's because like they actually have to go through their PayPal and the funds ain't there. Like they have to refresh that.
Oh.
Because they do only allocate so much.
That makes sense, man. Totally. That's cool.
But, yeah. If it isn't here in 24 hours, PM me on Twitch or join my Discord down below. Tell me, and I can yell at the people who run this personally.
Let them hear you, little sons of bitches.
But you'll be able to use the Ziploc GDD emote. YGDD, Because God damn it, Dragon!
Jesus.
That sounds about right.
And it's a derpy Spyro. Well, a derpy, not Spyro. It's a not Spyro. Totally not Spyro.
What do you mean? That doesn't look anything like Spyro.
The Durgan.
What are you talking about?
Anyways. So, here's your 5 minutes of fame. So please tell the lovely people where to find you. What do you do? And all that wonderful stuff, my beautiful bearded bastard.
I'm a Twitch streamer. I'm also a podcaster. I used to work in radio for way too many years. So I learned how to talk really well. At least
that also explains why your mic sounds better than ours.
I dumped... Dude, it's a $500 mic. Like, this is like an industry standard in radio. Like, I remember sitting...
$50.
He bought my mic. And the stand.
Like,
It's still better than your other mic. That's all I'm saying.
True, because I used to keep my mic in a, what do you call it? A Hello Kitty metal bucket.
I remember that thing. Oh, yeah, God.
That thing pissed me off.
But, you know, it's just like when I got out of radio and into Twitch instead and I started broadcasting, I need it. I need my Electro Voice RE20. I need this thing. And finally, I got it. And it was one of those things you kind of hold it and you just, I don't want to plug it in. I just want to look at you, cradle it like it's a baby. Like, I don't want to. No, I'm going to treat you so well. Yes, I am. Yes. But yes, you can catch me on twitch.tv/StacyKruger, StacyKruger. You also find me on my podcast, which you can find me at Spreaker. I didn't even think about bringing up the damn address for it. Give me 2 seconds, please.
Yeah. But yeah, I can also find him on Twitter at StacyKruger.com. Or not StacyKruger.com. I wish he had his own URL. That'd be hilarious. It'd be a porn site. But Twitter at Stacy Kruger. But, and also you can, he has his own Discord with the Odd Bunch.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. That's what our community is called, the Odd Bunch. It kind of came about one day. We're sitting there talking and, like, everybody was like, what should you call yourself? Is it Krugerites? I'm like, no, that sounds terrible. What do you, I was like, kind of throwing it back and forth and like, well, we're just an odd bunch of people, which like, the Odd Bunch. And it just kind of flew from there. What's it go? So the Spreaker, it's Spreaker.com. Spreaker.com/user/StacyKruger. And you can find the podcast, all of my podcasts there. I have like 3 or 4 separate ones going.
It's better than what I call my fucking subs and followers.
I'm afraid to find out. What do you call yours?
The Zip Knights.
Zip Knights? That's not terrible, man.
No, I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm saying it's better.
At least it's better than the Zippers.
Well, you know.
Drop the Zippers. We got a new sub, folks. I mean, come on.
It's like, welcome to the Zip Knights. You are now Squire. If you follow. Now, if you're a sub, well, you just basically just knighted Eisenberg.
See, there we go. Oh, man. Yeah, no problem. Sorry, somebody from chat was asking me to send me my info for the podcast. But yeah, once again,
find me on Twitter at Stacy Kruger. PM it to me here, and I'll pop it out there where everybody can get it.
Sounds fantastic, my friend. Sounds fantastic. And wham, bam, thank you, man.
That sounded dirty, Bob. You're just going to pop it out what? For everybody to get it.
Everything I say sounds dirty. Stacy said this while we were warming up. The more he gets to know me, the more everything I say sounds dirty.
Like I said, the Zippers. I mean, it works perfect.
Welcome to the Zippers. Drop congratulations. It doesn't take that much effort to make you go down.
Yeah, baby. God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate
I'm going
life
to help.
So much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am Ziploc Bob. You can find me at twitch.tv/ZiplocBob and on Twitter at twitter.com/ZiplocBob. You can find Component Z, my wonderful compatriot, here at twitch.tv/ComponentZ and twitter.com/Component_Z. For both of them. Remember, Component_Z. You don't get that underscore in there, you're going to get some other rando.
By the way, real quick before you finish up.
It's not the underscore Zeds. He's not here today.
Real quick before the podcast over, I just want to say one last time, thank you so, so much for having me on the podcast today, guys. I had a freaking blast, and I hope to one day come on again with you guys.
Oh, trust me. Whenever I'm like, hey, Stacy, you're free this weekend because our person dropped off, that's probably what's going to happen.
Sounds good.
But lastly, we are both affiliated with, me and Z are both affiliated with twitch.tv/bottlerocketgaming, where if you missed this, this does get rebroadcasted on their Twitch site as well as youtube.com/bottlerocketgaming 2 weeks from today. So, and lastly, if you are someone who's like, listen, I just want to listen to you guys, I can't stand looking at y'all faces, I understand I'm not the prettiest man in the world, you can go to podcast.com, search Sequel Syndrome there, and there's a link for that down below, as well as a iTunes version if you're of the iTunes version, iTunes variety. Completely free to listen to, and because we are completely supported by our followers, we're trying our best to keep any sort of brand deals out of it, unless it's like, hey, I actually really like these people, like I use their shit all the time, like if Razer wanted to hit me up, I would, but beyond that, like I just don't feel like going in full sellout mode.
See you guys, it's understandable, buddy.
Next time. Later.